Our next speaker is Dr. Anthony Stark. And regarding new frontiers, Dr. Stark will speak us about cosmology from Antarctica. Dr. Stark graduated with honors in physics and astronomy from the California Institute of Technology and went on to a doctorate in astrophysical sciences at Princeton University. He is author of over 100 articles in scientific journals. Stark made some of the first measurements to establish the Antarctic Plateau as a superior observatory site for sensitive radioastronomical observation. He has worked at Edmundson Scott South Pole Station for 18 summer seasons since 1986. He was principal investigator and designer of the Antarctic Submillimeter Telescope and Remote Observatory, a 1.7-meter diameter telescope that operated at the pole for a decade. In 1991, he became an astronomer with the Radio and Geoastronomy Division of the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory, and currently he is a co-principal investigator of the South Pole Telescope, a 10-meter diameter telescope that became operational in February 2007. He is also co-investigator in NASA Stratospheric Terahertz Observatory, a long-duration balloon observatory that will fly from McMurdo Sound in the next decade.
Well, it's always good to talk about cosmology. Cosmology is not all that ambitious. All we want to know is the history of the universe and the ultimate fate of the universe. And I'm going to point out that Antarctic astronomy has made contributions to the first and will make very significant contributions to the second. So this is a little picture of the whole history of the universe. And we're in the upper left-hand corner there. The picture is essentially logarithmic, going all the way back from zero redshift, where we are today, to infinite redshift at the time of the Big Bang. And much of what I'm going to be talking about is this period right in the middle at 400,000 years after the Big Bang. But an important era is long before that, 10 to the minus 34 seconds. That's the early inflation, and that is currently being approached by measurements of microwave background polarization. It's important because we're nowadays undergoing another period of inflation. Way back at 10 to the minus 34 seconds, the universe began to expand exponentially, and then it stopped expanding exponentially, and we don't know why it started, and we don't know why it stopped. But we're now finding that a billion years ago, the universe again began another period of exponential expansion. And if we're going to understand all of physics and we're going to understand everything, we're going to have to understand that. And that, as we shall see, is the big, big mystery today. I'm going to present a lot of results and theories, and there isn't time to explain why we think these things are true. That's unfortunate, but if you want to ask questions later. So, all that we know about the universe is based on the electromagnetic spectrum, and in particular, the cosmic microwave background photons, which were emitted at that time 400,000 years after the Big Bang. Those photons have been streaming towards us without interruption, with a few, occasionally the photons get interrupted, and we'll see that happening. But when they were emitted long ago, they were actually visible light. So they were emitted at a time when the universe looked like the interior of a neon sign, a bright glowing plasma that was opaque, and then at 400,000 years it turned off And that light has been streaming toward us ever since and has gotten redshifted by the cosmological redshift by a factor of 1,000. In the future, the CMB photons will be redshifted very much more and will become actually invisible. So, just the connection with the Antarctic is the Antarctic Plateau is the best site on the surface of the Earth for high-frequency radio observations. That really, to keep it short, is because it's cold. And the cold temperature freezes out the water vapor. Blobs of water vapor moving across your telescope are the real problem for this kind of observation, and that issue is reduced by a factor of about 50 and on the Antarctic Plateau compared to other sites. So by looking at the at features in the microwave background, Antarctic astronomers have demonstrated that the universe has a flat geometry, and that is the big discovery. Future Antarctic instruments will help understand the dark energy and early inflation, which are the remaining puzzles. We've now found that the universe is incredibly odd and that we don't understand most of it, and so there's a lot left to learn. So, why Antarctica? It's essentially because it's cold and it's high altitude. So, 2 decades ago, quite a bit of site testing was done, and the result was a 23-year now history of work in Antarctica with backed up by the U.S. Antarctic Program, a ramp-up of technology and a great many telescopes. So what I'm going to show you now is a quick montage of all of that work done by all of those people, just to give you an idea. So back in the old days, we were working out of crates, and we were standing on the surface with our junky little telescopes that we brought in and tried to set up and tried to get some work done. A few years later, we had a more permanent setup, and we're still working out of Jamesways. There in the background is a University of Santa Barbara microwave background telescope. This is what the conditions look like inside. I remember that year we spent half the time nailing in floorboards and the rest of the time actually doing science. So here's one of the early primitive telescopes that actually gave some results that I will show you later. There's Astro, my baby. That was the first year-round telescope that operated successfully through the winter season. The Martin Pomerantz Observatory Laboratory, which was another big step forward in permanent facilities, and on the left there is the DAISY telescope. Here's Boomerang, which was a long-duration balloon experiment. Launched from McMurdo Sound. Akbar Viper, which is a 2-meter telescope for microwave background from the South Pole. This is looking down on it from the rim of its shield. There's the shield from the seen from the outside. This is the DAISY telescope, which is an interferometer telescope, the first really accurate measurements of the peak of the microwave background anisotropy, and also the first polarization measurements headed by John Carlstrom. Inside of DAISY, beautiful instrument. And this is what we now are working with today, South Pole Telescope, 10-meter diameter, millimeter submillimeter wave telescope, been operational at the pole now since January of 2007. And I'm just have to show you some of this data. This is actual data from the telescope. It's 1/500th of the survey of the sky that's been done so far. This is what the sky looks like at 2 millimeters wavelength. So if you could see at 2 millimeters wavelength, this is what the sky would be like. And the amazing thing is that everything in this picture is at high redshift. Right? In the foreground, if you were looking in optical light, you would see all of the stars from the Milky Way, and you would see a lot of low redshift galaxies. In this picture, actually, there would be about 1 million galaxies. None of those are apparent. What you see are essentially only high redshift objects, and the brightest spots are quasars, radio bright quasars. The less dim positive spots are anomalously bright protogalaxies, and this is a new discovery which we're just beginning to work on. These are galaxies in the process of formation, and for some reason they're about an order of magnitude brighter than they should be. We think that what's happening is that these are the few galaxies in formation that happen to be behind a gravitational lens. And so the gravitational lens brightens them up for us and makes them apparent. And the background texture there, it looks like noise, but that is actually the microwave background anisotropy. And this was the holy grail of cosmological observations for 20 years. People tried and tried and tried, and could not detect it. Now we're making routine pictures, and the pictures have essentially no noise. There's a little bit of stippling there, you can see, but essentially that is what the microwave background radiation is doing. And also interestingly, you see a dark spot up there in the upper left. That is a place where a cluster of galaxies at a moderate redshift, a redshift around 0.6, is absorbing some of the microwave background photons, or actually scattering them out of the beam. So that's what's called Sinyaev-Zatolvich effect. And it's a way of locating clusters of galaxies as these little shadows in front of the microwave background. And that's one of our current major projects. So here's the dark sector, more or less as it is today. There's the 10 meter in the background, and there's BICEP and QUAD instruments close to the foreground. Here's the QUAD experiment. It's a microwave background polarization experiment, which is aimed at seeing the polarization remnants of that period of early inflation that we understand so very badly. So this is the dark sector lab, and the BICEP and BICEP 2 instruments will be on the right, and it also acts as a control building for the 10 meter. That's the BICEP telescope, also a microwave background polarization instrument. So, yes, observational cosmology, much of it is about the cosmic microwave background radiation. The cosmic microwave background radiation is almost perfectly smooth. It's smoother than the surface of an orange, but it has these tiny little features. If you look at it coarsely, the original discovery was that it was the same everywhere, and it surrounds us in all directions. But if you look a little more accurately, there's a dipole. That's due essentially to the motion of the Earth. It's 600 kilometers per second, and it's simply the motion of the Earth with respect to the microwave background. It changes by 30 kilometers per second as the Earth goes around the Sun. If you get rid of that, there's a Sirius foreground from the Milky Way galaxy. But you get rid of that, and then there are the real remaining features, which are down by, they're only 10 parts in a million of the isotropic monopole distribution, and they are the remnants of the Big Bang and tell us about the geometry of the universe. And that's the geometry of the universe. In general relativity, there are three solutions for a uniform cosmology model: open, closed, and flat. And these correspond to shapes in the geometry, and they also correspond to, if you're able to survey a large triangle in space, how what the sum of the angles of the of that triangle is. If it's flat, the sum of the angles is 180 degrees, and if it's closed, they're less than 180 degrees, and if it's open, they're more than 180 degrees. And with the microwave background, we can essentially do that experiment because this is a simulation. It shows if you in the Big Bang, if you put in a little perturbation, what happens? And the point is that at the time at which this neon tube goes off, bang, you get like a snapshot of what the features are doing. And there's a very definite feature, which is about 1 degree across, in other words, 4 times the size of the sun and the moon on the sky. And that feature on the sky is a signature of that particular time and place back 400,000 years after the Big Bang. So this is a spectrum of the spatial structure of the Big Bang, and you get different shapes of that spectrum. The curve shifts back and forth depending on which cosmology you've got, open, flat, or closed. And so depending upon the shape of this spectrum of sizes, you can tell what the universe is doing and, in fact, what it will do. This is a really terrific picture. So this is from the boomerang experiment, and the top is actual boomerang data. So that's what the sky looks like, the stippling of the microwave background from the boomerang balloon project from McMurdo. And if the universe were closed, in the lower left panel, that's what it would look like. The right panel is what it would look like if it were open, and the middle is what it would look like if it were flat. And you can just see that it's flat. And in fact, quantitatively, to very high accuracy, about 1%, it is in fact consistent with perfectly flat. Before boomerang, that was seen by a number of other microwave background experiments from the South Pole. The DAISY, before boomerang, before DAISY, there was Python, which we saw in the montage, Viper, and Whitedish, and all of these experiments showed that peak occurring at about 1 degree on the sky. So here's DAISY data. There's that peak. And all of this work was done by Antarctic experiments. So why is flat important? Flat is really very, very interesting because the flat universe has zero net energy content. Matter and energy are interchangeable, and in a flat universe, all of the stuff, all of the material of which the universe is made, all of the energy to make that stuff is balanced by negative gravitational potential energy. And so the net energy is zero, and what that means, it essentially solves the problem of where the material in the Big Bang comes from. There is no material, it's just a separation of positive and negative energies, but not a philosophical nothing. And we still don't know what most of the universe is. We're only 4% of the universe is normal matter, such as we. The rest is dark matter and dark energy, and those can be approached by microwave polarization experiments from the Antarctic plateau. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, and please receive the medal from the board.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation.